Welcome to the Speaking From Our Hearts podcast. In this edition, we'll be talking about many aspects of life, particularly health, relationships, and wealth-related topics, all from a heart-centered approach. Your host, Paul Lowe, has a long and successful history of helping others through his coaching and mentoring, as well as his many charitable initiatives. He's been responsible for positively impacting thousands of people's lives, particularly young people from challenging backgrounds. Paul is the author of the books Mastering the Game of Life, From Pain to Purpose and Speaking From Our Hearts.
Welcome, listeners, to this Speaking From Our Hearts podcast episode, where I'm inviting back Elaine Godley, she of the Perfect 10 Wellness Program. And you may recall from previous episodes that Elaine has flagged up 10 particular parts of that, hence the name, surprise, surprise, the Perfect 10 Wellness Program, 10 particular elements. And in today's episode, Elaine's going to be telling us how to detox your life and home for improved health. So, very warm welcome, Elaine.
Marvellous. Thank you very much, Paul. Lovely to be with you again.
So, how to detox your life and home for improved health, Elaine?
Right. Just to recap, the 10 areas that you referred to with the perfect 10, we've got work, home, mind, body, friends, family, values, attitudes, beliefs and behaviours. So every area there that I've just mentioned has a capacity to be toxic. So we're particularly going to be talking about work and home, because that's the major area. We've also mentioned previously about friends and family, the toxicity that can occur there if you've got negative people around you. Yeah. In certain scenarios is not healthy. Mm. But with the work and home, when we're working in an environment that's full of chemicals, we don't necessarily know we're in an environment, to be frank, that is covered in chemicals. There's scientific evidence that show that people who work from home are actually something like an incredible 40% more likely to get cancer than those who go out to work. And that's because of the toxicity in the materials that surround us. So you've got fibres in the carpets, formaldehyde in the plastic things that are all around us. The paints, even though they're not like the old lead paint that you and I grew up with, there's still lots of nasties in paint everywhere. You've got the things that we keep under the sink, the bleaches, the spray air freshener things, and so on and so forth. So I'd urge everybody to have a look around your house and see what is in there that you actually don't need. And please look at the labels, because if you can't understand what's written on the label, then you don't want it in your house. You're looking for natural products. Candles, for example. There's lots of cheap, what do you call those little candle things? Tea light candles.
Yes, yes.
So the tea light candles, they are toxic. Better to replace them with beeswax candles. There's other things that candles are made of. I can't think of an example at the moment, but beeswax definitely. So you're burning something which you can add essential oils to. So you're actually converting the candle from a pretty thing to an effective health benefit. Things like bleaches. We don't need bleach. All we need is a bit of elbow grease, as my nan used to say. Washing soda. White vinegar, lemon juice, all these things. That's all we need to deal with anything that you could possibly have to be cleaned, can all be dealt with using natural products rather than all these chemicals. So the toxicity at home is all around us, as I say, not just in the products in our cupboards, but it's also in the fabrics and wallpapers. What do you call those, the worktops in the kitchen, the kitchen cupboards, literally everywhere you look has toxicity right the way through it, because it's been made using some sort of processing chemical. And particularly if you have things that are damaged, that's where you get the nasty chemicals that then sort of bleed out. Remember years ago we had to, asbestos was all the rage, and we know now that it's really quite nasty for us, particularly lung cancer, a form of asbestosis, mesothelioma it's called. It's a form of asbestosis, which is slightly easier to say than mesothelioma. But it's a lung cancer that acts like a bit like cotton wool. So there's no tumour as such. It's like cotton wool surrounding your lungs to the point where you can't breathe. Well, asbestos in and of itself is not the problem. It's when it gets damaged. So if you've got anything in your house, you might have old ceiling tiles that are cracked, you know, paintwork that's chipped, all this kind of thing, all adds to the toxicity. So that's as I say, it's all around us. And a way to cleanse your house is basically spring clean it. Go through room by room, you know, washing everything down, and not doing it as a, you know, major thing, but just like tidy as you go kind of thing. And as you go to do your cleaning, rather than use the, you know, Mr. Sheen or, you know, whatever product you use, just use a damp cloth and a bit of water with in a spray bottle with essential oil and white vinegar. And that's pretty much all you need. Very, very simple. And cheap as chips, absolutely cheap and chips. So you not only save a fortune, you're giving yourself a much better chance for good health as well.
So with the example of the asbestos, Elaine, which was a great one, I mean, there's something there that I think most people are, you know, are stroke have been aware of, and obviously certainly in, you know, in the last few years, and you'd say, well, that's okay, that's in the awareness. But you know, if I play a little bit of devil's advocate on this, and people say, well, you know, we've got to live, all right, you could argue, well, we said that sort of pre-asbestos alarm days where, you know, everybody just carried on doing what they do. You know, we don't know what we don't know. I seem to say that every single episode, but it's true. So I suppose, as I say, within my playing a little bit of devil's advocate, Elaine, so in terms of this toxicity or the detox in your home, we'll come to the life element in a moment, but what, you know, with the asbestos, we know what that sort of those harmful particles will be that, as you say, get in the lungs and, you know, and all and the damage they do. But what is the real damage that is done by just a normal house, inverted commas, normal?
Well, there are medical or scientific studies that prove, as I said, something like 40%, there's 40% higher chance of getting cancer, for example, which, you know, is my sort of specialist topic, sadly, but there we go. There's a repository which is called pubmed.com, which stands for public medical, short for public medical, so pubmed.com.
Yeah.
Have a look on there, and there'll be various articles and everything you need to know, any research at all you want to know on the medical health sort of issues and challenges, you'll find the answers there. So, you know, point taken, we have to live, and we can't scare ourselves to death either. I'm sitting here talking to you now in my cabin in the garden, and I'm looking out at, you know, all the spring plants, you know, popping out and all the rest of it, thinking, gosh, I really must paint my fence. I need to treat my fence. Yeah. But when I do that, I know I'm going to be covering my face with a mask so that I'm not breathing in the fumes. I need to paint my cabin. It's not been done for a couple of years, so I need to paint and varnish that this year. And again, that's going to be that will be a major thing for me, because the varnish is a lot more toxic. But things like this around the place, just minimise. You can't not live. And you know, there's very few things these days that are natural. So just use common sense, really.
It's we're back to that yet again, Elaine, aren't we? That raising awareness yet again. That seems to be certainly from, you know, the episodes I do with, you know, yourself consistently, and most other people, even on non-related health scenarios or topics. You know, that consistency of raising awareness runs through everything, isn't it? And I think if I'm hearing you correctly, that's exactly what you're saying about raising our awareness of managing that risk, really.
Exactly. And once your awareness is raised, it's very difficult not to do anything about it, because the more you are aware, the more you realize that actually this is all in your control. You can choose to ignore things, or you can do something about it. And years ago, I bought a lot of what do they call it? It was a product that they do. It was Niken years ago, and I'd got things to sleep on and things with the water and all the stuff around the house. And I was going to a chiropractor. This is over 20 years ago now, so things have moved on, and you know, things are considerably different now. But the chiropractor at the time said to me, "Oh, I wouldn't use any of that stuff if I were you, because it overstimulates your red blood cells and can cause cancer." Oh, crikey, I thought. So once I knew, I'd spent over £1,000, which was a lot of money going back, in all these different products, and I just literally scraped them all up around the house, and I took them down to the dump, because although obviously they went into landfill, which is not so good these days, but again, we didn't know about that then. But I couldn't unknow what I knew. Once he told me, and it was in my head, I couldn't bring myself to use any of them, nor could I bring myself to give them to anybody, because I would just be passing the problem.
Yeah.
I since now know that it's not an issue, and I could still be using them. But there we go. We can't be aware of anything and everything. As you say, we don't know what we don't know. But once we are aware, then we have choices, and yeah, it's up to us to decide how we want to live our lives. We could scare ourselves to death, or we could take a common sense approach and go, okay, well, I know this is not, you know, ideal. Things like you know, very simple things like nail varnish. You know, the amount of nail bars that are around these days, and you know, most women, some blokes even these days, have their nails done and painted, and all these extensions and different things. It's very. I used to be known for my long red nails. And at one time, I remember there was a picture of my hands on the internet, and people knew it was me just by my hands. Now, because I know of the toxicity, there's formaldehyde, there's phthalates, toluene, I think it's called. There's any number of toxic chemicals in nail varnish, and our nails are a source of getting fresh air and nice things in our body, or nasty things. So if you're covering up your nails, you're not allowing your body to breathe, and you're filling it with chemicals. I know that now, and I can't bring myself, even though I look at my hands and my nails and I think, oh dear, very, very, very occasionally I will have nails done, but I'm probably talking 2 or 3 times a year perhaps.
Yeah.
Whereas they are continually done. So it's you know, again, going back to the common sense, and the same in the workplace as well. So this podcast topic is, you know, detoxing home and life. So every aspect of your life, whether you're at home, whether you're in the office, you know, washing up liquids, hand soaps when you're out and about, and you go to the bathroom, you know, service stations, you know, we wash our hands a lot, but even the hand soaps, they're full of chemicals, they're full of toxicity, and then you go, well, okay, well, perhaps I'll use a hand gel instead. Well, look at the labels on those. Some of them are okay, some of them aren't. So again, it's a question of balance and not going bonkers. And you know, we wouldn't get out of bed in the morning, would we, if we, you know, followed absolutely every rule in the book. But getting balance is really, really important. And just being aware that everything around us, the air we breathe, when I fill up with fuel, I have my hand over my mouth. I wear a lot of scarves, so I just put my scarf over my mouth, because filling, you know, how many times do we fill up with fuel? With me, it could be once or twice a week, and I've got my tanks quite big, so I'm you know, if I was standing there breathing in the fumes, that's no good to man nor beast. So all these little things, we can just make our life a bit kinder and softer by taking precautions, but at the same time living and not getting too het up over it.
If I can switch the focus now, Elaine, obviously from the tangible products in the home to the more or the less, shall I say, the less tangible products of life, not products, but ways of life. And I'm thinking, so how do we detox our life with non-tangibles? And I'm thinking around things like limiting beliefs, our emotions, you know, our habits, all these things that we can allow to become toxic. It's a completely different sort of take on things, I think, from that, as I say, that tangible product driven home scenario, but nonetheless the damage that we can do psychologically from not detoxing, I think is immense. What's your thoughts around that, Elaine?
As always, everything with me starts with about behavior and knowing ourselves, knowing our body, knowing our own mind, knowing what we want, you know, knowing what our purpose is, all that kind of stuff is fundamental.
Yeah.
Because when we know all of that, then it's not so easy for us to be detracted and sent off piste by other people. Other people, their views, their beliefs, their way of life, their culture, whatever, has an enormous impact on us on a day-to-day basis. I was talking this morning to somebody who contacted me, who's seeing an oncologist, actually, as we're on this call now. This person is in the oncologist office, and he was a diagnosis last week, and of course the poor man is really worried. So I gave him some tips on what to say, what to ask for, etc. And he was telling me on how his oncologist has basically told him it's incurable, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, so on and so forth, and the poor man is beside himself. I hear these conversations day in, day out, and I've reminded him that's your oncologist's belief, that's not your reality. So what is your, and I said to him, he's telling me all about the what he's been told, etc., and of course, you know, hear the fear and the sadness in his voice. And I just said to him, well, do you want to live? And straight away he said, yes, I do. I said, why? And then he told me, you know, the nice things in his life that he wants to live for. I said, fine, this is, you know, here are some suggestions and go with it. But remember, it's other people's reality that they're telling you. And it's only because how they've been trained and what they know.
Yeah.
They don't know what you know. They don't know that you've got, you know, me as your secret weapon, and I can show you how to turn things around, but there's an awful lot of work to do. You have to take responsibility, but you have to set the intention. So setting your intention is absolutely huge, but you can't set an intention if you don't know who you are. So again, it goes back to the behavior, and here we go around the mulberry bush again. Everything is interconnected, isn't it, Paul?
It is, absolutely, 100% it is. And for me, Elaine, you know, people must get sick and tired of hearing it. I must start checking myself on this. But it comes back to, you know, some really, really basic facts and truths in life, that, you know, life is a very, very, very simple game. We create our own beliefs, as you've already alluded to, be they good, bad or indifferent. And this is why I try and really kind of simplify it down to that distilled, that truth, not some distortion of somebody else's belief or thought or opinion. And I don't care how qualified they are in their particular profession. If I don't understand it or agree with it, I will question it to the point of becoming a right nuisance over it. Because, you know, I've had this in a medical sense where I was labelled this and I was labelled that. And I was like, I thought, well, I may as well just all end it all then. Everything I'm hearing, you've put me on the scrap heap and I'm a young fella. It's like, no. And somehow, despite my plight, I had that sort of, that inclination, that sixth sense, call it what you will, to fight against it and go against the grain. And I'll give you an example of that with a label that I picked up. Was it just at the turn of the millennium? Yeah, 2001, 2002, somewhere around there, where I was labelled, I've got diabetes, type 2 diabetes. And I said, well, what does that mean then? You know, and this old doctor, I went for a taxi badge. I was out of work at the time, so I went for a taxi badge. And I, of course, you have to have a medical. And he said, oh, we can't give you a badge. You've got type 2 diabetes, and we can't give you work. Right, okay, well, what does that actually mean? Well, we'll refer you to your GP. He'll tell you all about it. So I went to see my GP, and he was apparently one of the top diabetes specialists in the whole of Nottinghamshire. So I went to see him, and he's telling me, okay, well, it's in its early stages, so we can control it by diet, hopefully. So we'll try it 6 months on diet and this, that, and the other, and then we'll have it, you know, we'll review it. And then I thought, well, that doesn't stack up for me. Anyway, the inevitable happened, and after 6 months, it's like, okay, now we'll put you on tablets, okay. And of course, I didn't know about any of this stuff. So what happened in the end was I ended up on 9 tablets a day.
Good grief.
9 a day. For this, for that, the other. But what made it actually worse was there was changing the medication. And I can remember saying to this so-called expert, well, you're supposed to be the top guy, aren't you? Oh, yeah, but this and that. And I said, I tell you what, where I come from, there's a phrase, I'm a guinea pig. I'm your guinea pig. And I actually know that there is hell of a lot of money, massive, massive amounts of money in, you know, people in the system and administering drugs and all that kind of thing. It's, you know, the pharmaceutical industry is a monumental business, and I'm one of your guinea pigs. I said, and so this, you know, and this went on and on and on. And I said, I'll tell you what, one day I'll return here and I will tell you I've sorted this. No chance, no chance. You won't sort it. You know, take my advice, or what he was more or less alluding, you're doomed. You know, a bit like the old character out of Dad's Armour. Yeah, you were doomed. so that went on. And what happened, Elaine, was, I mean, because of where I was at that particular moment in time in my life, I was still drinking heavy, you know, with bouts of labels called that I gave myself, all kinds of weird and wonderful things. And, you know, I was in a bad place. But that was, you know, I take full responsibility. That was down to me. So anyway, what transpired was a few years later, as I started to tighten my guard up and started to think, I don't actually want this life anymore. And the drink was paramount within that, and my lifestyle, because I've always been active. You know, I've been always trained hard physically and, you know, played hard. And it's like, okay, so I need more consistency of that lifestyle. So I made that conscious decision to change things. And I did change things, and, you know, the drink was packed up. I'm nearly 10 years dry now. And, you know, the training I did sort of on and off, depending whether I was in the phase of drink or not, that become very consistent. And I just changed everything. So I was still in the system for diabetes. And by this time, I'd moved areas probably a couple of times and surgeries and all this and the other. Anyway, I went to see this one particular surgery. This was probably about 7 or 8 years later. And there was a young nurse there. I went for my 6-monthly checkup, something like that. Anyway, there was a young trainee nurse alongside of her. And she said, okay, we've got all your blood tests back, you know, for your diabetes check and this, that, and the other. And, this is brilliant. That's brilliant. This is brilliant. I can't remember the technical terms for all the tests, whatever they were. And I actually, because of this young student nurse, I made her repeat this 3 times. I played as if a bit of sort of devil's advocate. Are you sure about that? I didn't quite hear that. Can you just repeat that again for me, please? And I deliberately did that, as I say, so this young nurse. And I was kind of smiling, and she said, you're not taking this serious, are you? And I said, nope. And she said, why? I said, I'll tell you why, because you're not taking it serious. For years now, I've been in your system, advised by you so-called experts about this and about that, and I've been nothing more than a guinea pig. Now, I've asked you 3 times to confirm that, you know, and she was using adjectives like exceptional, brilliant, blah, blah, and all this kind of thing. 3 times you've confirmed this in front of this young lady here. I said, you know the reason why I'm laughing? Nope. I haven't been taking your medication for a long, long time. Oh, and she went bananas. She went absolutely bananas. And she said, right, the doctor will not be, I'm going to book you an appointment. I said, please do. In fact, can we go and see the doctor now? Can we do it now? No. She really took it personal. And anyway, I went to see the doctor and I booked an appointment. And I don't know, I'm sure listeners can relate to this, Elaine. Straight to human nature. In those days, I was still very, very fiery. Very fiery. I thought, right, okay. So we're in for, a bit of a tear up here. So I got myself really psyched up for this meeting with the doctor, expecting him fully to say, you know, read me the riot act. And so I'm ready for it. So anyway, I go for my appointment and knocks on the door. Right. OK, doctor. He went to shake me hand. I said, there's no need for that. I haven't come here for pleasantries. Let's get down to it. Let's do it. Because you're going to lecture me. And then she said, no, I'm not. I said, well, that makes a change. So you're going to adopt a nice, gentle style, but you're still going to give me the what? No, I'm not. He said, I want to shake your hand for achieving what you've achieved.
Wow.
Well, by this time, Elaine, I'm mega confused. It's like, I didn't come here for pleasantries or acknowledgements. I come here for a fight. Because that's what I've had in the system for years. And he said, listen, if we can overturn and cure something as critical and as devastating as cancer, I'm sure we can make a fist of it with diabetes. What do you think? I said, well, am I not living proof? He said, yeah, you are indeed. He said, and that's why I want to shake your hand and say, well done. I'd almost be tempted to buy you a cream cake, you know, a little bit of a smile on his face. Brilliant. But that was an interesting, I've never forgot that, Elaine. That was an interesting insight for me. You know, recently I had a client, a mentee that was on about, you know, being in the system. And I don't want this to be a bash in the sort of, you know, the medical profession, you know, because at the end of the day, they don't know what they don't know either.
Exactly.
But, you know, this client of mine, who actually turned later subsequently into a friend, he come out with a statement and I thought it was very interesting. And it was on about, he'd been given some medical advice and he'd sort of acted on it. And I said, but why? And he said, yeah, but these are professional people. They really know what they're doing and what they're saying. And I said, do they really? Do you believe that? And he said, well, don't you? And I said, no, I don't. I will talk to people in any profession about any subject. And if it's something that I'm not clued up on, I won't try and sort of, you know, flannel. I'll admit, you know, that I don't know. But I'll ask them for their insight, and depending what the knock-on effect of their insight is, will determine how much time and energy I will then spend researching it. Not because they've said it's right, but I'll go to alternative sources. A bit like what you're saying, Elaine, you know, another way of thinking, if you like. You know, I know Deepak Chopra. I've been to the States 2 or 3 times to see Deepak Chopra with his, you know, he's a qualified medical doctor, but his alternative way of thinking and being. And it holds a hell of a lot of water. It really does. I suppose the summary there from what we've both just spoke about is, you know, don't take anybody's word for it. You know, go and look elsewhere at an alternative way of thinking or being.
Exactly. And to take up your point about being on 9 drugs, I'm looking at an article now on the internet here from a website called naturalsociety.com. And in 2015, there was an article that they published, and I've heard this many times from other sources as well. At that time, nearly 52% of the deaths in America were related to prescription drugs. And I say this all the time with cancer. People very rarely die actually from cancer. They die from the side effects of the treatment or the drugs that they're given. Mm. And you end up having, 9 drugs for diabetes. I mean, that's downright ridiculous. Mm. So you've just taken 1 drug for 1 symptom and then that gives a side effect. So you take another drug for that side effect. And so it goes on. It makes me very cross.
Well, I got to the stage where I was rattling. But I think what we've done there, Elaine, bringing this to a conclusion now, it was, to say the least, I think quite a thought-provoking conversation. So I thank you for that, as I do always, because your knowledge and your insights are invaluable. So as I always conclude these very informative conversations, Elaine, how can people get in touch with you?
My website, which is www.perfect-health.co.uk, or just look up Elaine Godley on Google or Facebook and you'll find me, or LinkedIn.
Superb. So there you go, listeners. Elaine Godley, the creator of the Perfect 10 Wellness Program. Hope you've enjoyed that. Certainly hope you've got some great value from it. And until the next time, remember, mastering life starts by speaking from our hearts. Take care.
Hearts, helping everyone achieve results towards success.